Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, a couple of quick updates here, and then, of course, it is Freedom Friday, and we're going to look at the bright side with Becky Hillier once again. Going to be great to have her here in studio with us. A couple of quick updates. So earlier this week, we caught up with Montana Speaker of the House Brandon Lear out of Savage, and he gave us several great legislative updates on the bills that are being heard, being discussed, moving forward in the state House of Representatives, in the legislature in Helena. One bill that really stood out to me was House Bill 377, which safeguards parental access to their children's medical records. Now, David Noble and I talked about that bill a little bit more yesterday in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. House Bill 377. Basically, you've got, according to Speaker of the House Brandon Lear and others now, you've got these hospitals which are saying, you know what? Yeah, you can pay for your kid's doctor appointment. You can drive them to the doctor appointment. You can be responsible for the health, welfare, and safety of your kids. But you know what? If they come and see a doctor or a nurse or a PA, we're not going to tell you anything. You don't get access to their records. What? What kind of crazy is it? And folks, I said it yesterday. This seems like this is being coordinated. We oftentimes see this craziness. It's not like one hospital in Billings, Montana says, oh, hey, you know what? Let's take away the parents' rights to see their kids' medical records, their teenage daughter's medical records, or whatever. No, this is usually coordinated, and there's usually something nefarious behind it. And then all of a sudden, it's like, follow the leader, jump off the cliff, and before you know it, every hospital's pushing this, whether they're in, you know, small towns or big towns or, you know, or nationally. And I mentioned, we even had a message on our Montana Talks app from a listener in Butte who gets TRICARE, gets TRICARE health coverage. He said TRICARE is trying to do the same thing. So I flagged that one for our congressional delegation to jump on that, because I'm sure if Pete Hegseth, SecDef Hegseth, found out about that, he'd be like, what? This is an outrage. But it wouldn't be a surprise, because remember what the Biden DOD did. I mean, they were supporting drag queen story hours on military bases and targeting your kids with that. So, of course, they wouldn't want you to have access to your kids' medical records, especially when they're trying to misgender your kids and potentially do some other nefarious medical procedures. And then some folks, unfortunately, in the medical industry believe they can profit off of that craziness. Anyway, the Montana Family Foundation, I got an update here, an urgent call to action. Stephanie in Carbon County forwarded this to me. Apparently, two of the Republicans who they're urging people to contact right now to urge them to support House Bill 377. It's a bill by Representative Nellie Nickel out of Billings. They're urging people to contact Representative Valerie Moore and Representative George Nikolakakos. I believe Valerie Moore is out of Northeast Montana and Nikolakakos is out of the Great Falls area. So they're urging people to contact the two of them to support this legislation in particular, House Bill 377. All right, we're going to look at the bright side of so many things with Becky Hillier coming up right after this.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny to partly cloudy skies across the area for today, high temperature readings will stay from the mid to upper 30s. For tonight, we can expect variably cloudy skies, low temperatures of around 20. And then on Saturday, we can expect a mix of clouds and sunshine with a high temperature up near 43. Partly cloudy into Saturday night. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frobley.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
I hate to put too much stock in a couple of polls, but now that President Trump has been in office for 1 month, seems like a lot longer, a couple of surveys, CNN, Washington Post, put him at 45 and 47% approval, respectively. That's down from where he was before. And one reason, for example, the Washington Post saying 58% of respondents are opposed to laying off large numbers of federal workers. What happened to cutting the budget? Elon Musk fares far worse. Only 34% of respondents told the Post they approve of his role in the federal government. And at the same time in the CNN poll, 62%, including 47% of Republicans, say the president has not done enough to try to reduce prices of everyday goods. Silver lining for the president? The Democrats are real unpopular as well. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
To my Democrat colleagues in this chamber, I hope you'll listen to the will of the people, which is to leave the crazy behind and put America first. Wow, that was just part of Senator Tim Sheehy's speech back in Helena to the Montana legislature with the Democrats sitting right there in the room. The whole speech was incredible. Check out this headline, MontanaTalks.com. Powerful speeches by the Montana Codel at the Capitol in Helena. William.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Friend.
I was trying to goof around on YouTube here and find a good heat wave song. I was trying to find something, you know. I feel like there's a, I don't know what song I'm thinking of. Like, it's older. It's like 60s. I don't know if it's Martha Reeves and the Vandellas heat wave. But there was a heat wave song I was
there
looking
was,
for.
There was, yeah. Anyway, I know what you're talking about.
I don't know. Anyway, if we had you had a guy that worked with you at Wake Up Montana back in the day. And
yes.
Yeah, he was really good with finding music for everything.
He
huh?
was. I loved what Mark did. He was very quiet about it, very humble, and tucked away in the corner of the studio, the production studio. Excuse me. But he would have an appropriate, awesome song for every break coming in and out. He was great at what he did.
Well, you're great at what you do on social media. I tell you what, I'm just scrolling through your Facebook page here with Becky Hillier, longtime, you know, TV broadcast news anchor and Montana native and so much more. And, man, I'm just looking through some of your stuff here. A horse walks into a bar. Bartender says, hey. Horse says, sure. It's a little thing.
That's like one of the world's shortest jokes, but, you know, there's a good payoff with that. So I love that. And I love, we were talking earlier how fun it is to engage with people on social media. And we don't have control of the algorithms for all of the social media platforms. And so sometimes it's really great. And sometimes they throttle you down and you don't get the engagement that you normally do. But it's just fun. And when I post something that's funny to me, and I don't think I have a really weird sense of humor, but it's so cool to see people respond to that. And they laugh, and I read the comments, and usually I'm laughing harder at the comments than I do about the actual post.
Yeah.
But it's just good.
Yeah, because sometimes it's like, I know the job that I have, I should engage on social media. Because it's like your job when you're
right.
when you do a show like this. It's just part of the job, right? But and I have a ton of fun on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it. But Facebook, Facebook is just kind of a mess. But I've been having some fun on Facebook mm-hmm. this week because, like, especially with the cold weather, like, the reason I was trying to find a heat wave song is because it feels like a heat wave out there.
It
I mean,
does.
22 degrees or whatever it is right now. Let me look at my phone in our neck of the woods here. 25 degrees.
Yeah.
It feels like a heat wave.
It really does. You know, I went out the other morning. I had to do some publicity for the Mate Show, which is this weekend. And so I left the house early that morning, and it was 22 below. And I'm in my car just in my suit jacket, and I thought, I didn't even wear a winter coat. Uh-oh, I hope I don't get an accident or something. And I thought, you'd think all these years, you know, being born and raised in Montana, I would know. My mom would be very disappointed if she knew I left the house without my coat. But we just get so used to it. 22 below, definitely feel the difference. And then 10 above, you're just walking around with shorts on, T-shirts, no jackets, anything. It's such a huge difference. So grateful for the cold spell, because then we appreciate the warmth.
Yeah, so we were in, you got to talk about the Mate Show, the Montana Agri-Trade
Exposition
yep. that's going to be in Billings here. In fact, we got some folks that are joining us in the 8 o'clock hour that are in town for Mate.
But yeah.
We were at the Gate Show in Glendive last Friday, and Yeah, it was chilly last Friday, but apparently earlier this week it was like 40 below zero in Glendive. And so somebody had one of our listeners in Glendive had shared that on Facebook. And I said, dang it, why couldn't that have happened last Friday? Because I wanted the bragging rights. You know, we're here live in Glendive. It's 40 below, but we don't care. We are still here.
You're so tough and committed, Aaron.
Lost the bragging rights on that one.
Well, and we're hoping that with everybody being basically sequestered in their homes for the last couple of weeks with this brutal cold spell, that it's warming up. People will be wanting to get out of their homes and come to the Mate Show and see us and hang out. So
yeah, it's fun because, yeah, you get people from all across the state. So there's, like, for example, we talk a lot of legislative news, and there's some water bills, water rights bills, hot debate. In fact, yesterday we had Attorney General Austin Knutson join us in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. And, you know, all five members of the Montana Land Board are Republicans, but Attorney General Austin Knutson said, hey, I was the only member of the land board that voted in support of water rights on this case before the land board. So it's like, whoa, what's the story there? What's the deal there? And anyway, so we've got somebody who's actually going to be in town talking about these very water rights issues. They just happen to be in town for the Mate, so they can join us in studio. So that'll work out great.
Well, and that's the thing. Whenever any of these legislative bills come up or debate comes up, you always have to think about how it will impact our farmers and ranchers, because agriculture is Montana's number one industry, obviously, far and away. And so you always want to put a lot of thought and be very careful about how it will affect that number one industry and our farmers and ranchers. That's their livelihood. So
yeah, and ours as well,
yes,
whether we
sure.
know it or not. Yeah. By the way, I got to show you this photograph of this horse. So they're doing the horse auction, the horse sale pretty soon here. And, you know, but there is this horse. I got to reach out to our friend Ashley. She markets horses, sells horses, and, you know, and things like that. But she's got this horse. It's a black Percheron.
Ooh.
And, you know, if you've been to the Miles City Bucking Horse Sale, mm-hmm. I think that's where I first saw a Percheron.
Oh,
I mean,
really?
They're like the big black, just incredible looking horses. I mean, it's like a horse out of the Lord of the Rings movie.
Oh,
that's
wow.
what the Percheron is. But it's a black Percheron with like Donald Trump or Becky Hillier blonde hair. So it's got the Trump hair, but it's a black Percheron. So I'm just going to call it a black and tan, just in time for St. Patty's Day.
There you go.
This thing is awesome looking.
Are you in the market for a horse?
I wish. But I'm one of those low net worth individuals. You know, there's,
same.
So you think kids playing football in high school eat a lot of food? Get a horse. So
exactly.
I don't know. Man, the time's flying by here. So I don't know if you saw this story. I did a story on our Montana Talks website. The heroes of Cascade County for the cold weather kids.
Aww.
They had a school bus slide off the road up in Cascade County. And so the undersheriff said, all right, all deputies on my location. They drove every single one of those kids to school.
Oh, that's
amazing.
So
they weren't stuck out there in the below zero temperature. So cool story on the Montana Talks website. Becky's got some great stories to share right after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
People are upset about high rents and home prices, but others are much more quiet about it. Because for every buyer and renter who feels the pain of digging deeper into their wallets to find the money to pay for housing, there's a seller or property owner who experiences joy in exactly the same amount. Not to mention homeowners in fast appreciating areas whose wealth has surged. This underscores the reason why the issue of housing affordability has proven to be so difficult to effectively address, and that is the local opposition to the policies that would make it happen. Even as national politicians begin paying attention and start sounding off on proposals to fix it, the trench battles over every new development in communities everywhere are just as intense as ever. Is it undemocratic to override the wishes of local residents and permit more housing to be built? Perhaps, but those who would benefit from the increases in supply that would help bring down the growth in housing costs don't get a vote because they're priced out of the market. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
It's February 21st, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Sticky Bun Day. The origins debated. Some attribute the sticky bun to the ancient Egyptians. Others argue that it may have originated in Germany. Either way, it's delicious. On this day in 2021, the World Health Organization pleads with Tanzania to start reporting COVID-19 cases due to fears of a hidden epidemic in the country. In World War I, the Battle of Verdun begins in 1916 with a German offensive in France. The longest battle in the entire war, 9 months, lead to an estimated 1 million casualties. Born on this day in 1940, American political and civil rights icon and longtime congressman from Georgia, John Lewis. English actor Alan Rickman, born in 1946. He played Hans Gruber in Die Hard and Severus Snape in the Harry Potter franchise.
I can teach you how to bewitch the mind and ensnare the senses.
I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Unfortunately, businesses of all sizes at this point will now be required by the U.S. Treasury Department to file their beneficial ownership information with the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network by March 21st, 2025. This news follows a court ruling reinstating BOI requirements under the Corporate Transparency Act. Treasury is considering rule changes to reduce the burden on small businesses and lower risk entities while also prioritizing national security concerns. Beneficial ownership information requirements would impact over 32 million businesses, including 230,000 plus farms and ranches. Filing, of course, for FinCEN is free online. The failure to comply after the deadline will result in $591 daily penalties and up to 2 years in prison for willful violations. Meanwhile, Congress is considering bills to repeal the requirements. And later today, the monthly cattle on feed report will be released, and it's anticipated that it will be bearish, given that placements are expected to be greater than a year ago in feedlots because Mexican cattle imports were resumed in February, which undoubtedly contributed to the increase in placements. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
All right, I've been drinking some of this really good 82 Coffee Company coffee out of Dillon, Montana, so I've been talking way too much. Becky Hillier joins us here on Fridays on Freedom Friday to look at the bright side of things, and so she's always got some great news stories or things like that. What do you want to share with our listeners here on this Freedom Friday?
Well, you know, I do post a lot of quotes or just, you know, uplifting, funny things, whatever it is, but I also post a lot of videos, too. So if a video strikes me as being just really emotional or touching or funny, then I post it hoping everybody else will feel the same way. So I posted three different videos over the last, 4 to 6 weeks maybe, and they did okay and kind of forgot about them. And then this last week, I just getting these notifications over and over again, the viewership and the interaction and the sharing of these videos just went crazy. And one of them is so funny, Aaron. It is this little Southern gentleman, and he's at work, and one of his coworkers asked him if he knew how to skip. And so she videos him attempting to skip something so simple that all of us were required to do in PE when we were growing up.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Back when I grew up. And he says, I could skip, with this heavy Southern drawl. And so he tries to skip and he can't. He fails miserably. And everybody is laughing in the video. And so he tries time and time again. And if you just picture in your mind this little short man from the South who looks like Santa Claus without a beard, he has the funniest laugh. His face is beet red because he's embarrassed. Other people are showing him how to skip. Then he says, I can do that. And so he tries to skip and he fails again. And so last night I thought, I'm going to look at some of these comments and see the interaction. And it's just been, I laughed for about a half hour straight reading the comments of people getting such a kick out of this video and saying, well, now I have to try to skip. Oh, I can't skip either.
There's something about these Southern accents,
yes,
isn't it, that is just great. So, like, the new VA Secretary for Veterans Affairs, Doug Collins is his name.
Mm-hmm.
He's got that thick Georgia accent. But he was trying to counter some of the false information that's being spread about the VA and, you know, benefits are going to be cut. And he was like, you know, this is a Whopper without a tomato. And so I want to play that video at some point here on the show this morning. But just the fact he said, well, it's a Whopper without a tomato. And folks, that just don't work. A Whopper without a tomato.
Right? It's very endearing. It's very folksy. And I think people really like that. And we kind of need that in our lives these days. That Southern drawl and then little, like British kids with their British accents are adorable. They can say anything, and it just cracks me up, and they have me. So this skipping video, I just thought, can people still skip? Like, do you know how to skip?
Man.
If you had a wireless headset, I'd have you do it right now.
Oh, man. but my hip or my back, no. I'm trying to think. Well, like football players, and then when we would do warm-ups, I got to do some cool workouts with like some Green Berets and some Navy SEALs on one deployment, and there's a good warm-up that's kind of like a skipping maneuver, but it's more like you're doing knee-ups.
Yep.
So you're like you're skipping, but you're more like kicking your knee up at the same time. So I can do that one because it looks tougher than a normal skip. I don't know if I want to be on video doing a skip.
I've got my phone ready.
Yeah, exactly.
So I just thought it would be fun for people out there to, maybe take video of their friends, family, their boss, whatever, seeing if you can skip in the office, having it be a little bit of a challenge. And I guarantee it will make you laugh, and it is impossible to not smile or have a great day if you challenge someone to try to skip. It sounds so simple, but so many of us haven't done it for years. And I have a cousin who was so bright in school. He could do everything. He knew everything. The kid could not skip to save his soul. So we would all have a heyday laughing at him about it. But that video has brought a lot of joy to a lot of people. The comments have brought a lot of joy to me. So it's just a fun thing to think of and put yourself in that position.
Yeah, you shared a few fun things. I loved this one. You said, I mean, really? And the graphic says, surely not everybody was kung fu fighting. I mean, was everybody kung fu fighting? I don't think everybody was kung fu fighting.
Can we stop the exaggeration, please? Not everybody was kung fu fighting, but we appreciate the effort.
I love, though, that also kind of mocks these people that they get so caught up over everything.
Oh, yes.
Like the grammar police on Facebook. Mm-hmm. It's a Facebook post. Like, settle down. But, like, okay, the fact that everybody was not kung fu fighting, it's still a good song. Get over it. Have some fun with it.
Well, and that, I think we sometimes take things a little too literally, so it's poking fun at being literal about things. I just think people need to be a little bit looser, a little more flexible, and offer a lot of grace out there to everybody.
There you go. Monty in Roundup, he really liked the little graphic you had about the horse walking into a bar.
Yeah.
So Monty in Roundup shared another one. Horse walks into a bar, and the bartender says, "Hey, buddy, why the long face?" So that's another classic one there as
good
well.
Good one, Monty.
And
thanks for that.
You're from Miles City. That will happen. A horse will walk into the bar in Miles City.
Yeah, I remember a video I saw a few years ago, Bozeman, where someone on a horse rode the horse through the Rockin' R Bar.
Yeah.
I thought that is, quintessential Montana right there.
Well, Conrad Burns did that in Miles City. I think one bucking horse. I think he probably rode a horse into the bar. So.
I don't think I was drinking age then. So I wasn't there.
Notice she didn't say she wasn't in the bar. She just said she wasn't of drinking age back
facts
then.
Facts are facts,
Aaron. All right. Good here with looking at the bright side of things here with Becky Hillier on Freedom Friday. Becky, one of the things that I really like that you shared here as well, you just shared some good kind of one-liners. Here's another one-liner that Becky Hillier shared on Facebook. The moment you start acting like life is a blessing, it starts feeling like one.
Mm-hmm.
The moment you start acting like life is a blessing, it starts feeling like one. I mean, my friend, the rabbi in Bozeman, and then a Christian mentor that I have in Billings, they both say, start your day with a prayer of gratitude.
Yeah.
If you focus on what you're thankful for the very first thing in the morning, it's going to start your day off a heck of a lot better. And, sometimes you forget. That's why we like to have stuff like this where we mm-hmm. remind ourselves as well.
Right. I mean, I think we get caught up in all the negativity that's out there, and there is plenty of it out there. But I do think, I heard once, if the only prayer you ever say is thank you, then that's good enough. And that goes along with what the rabbi said. Just start every morning feeling thankful that you're there, because so many people are denied that privilege of opening up their eyes in the morning and living another day. We just never know when that's going to happen. And so we all have hardship. We all have heartache. We all have heartbreak. We all wish and hope for other things. And we can get mired down in all the negativity. But really, when you look at it, life really is a blessing. We've been given this gift. So what are you going to do with it? You have 24 hours in a day. You have certain skills or talents. how are you going to apply those to bring joy to other people? And that really, for me, has always been the key, is just taking the attention off myself and making sure other people are happy and feel seen and heard. And then that, in turn, makes me feel happy. So not all of us are blessed with a huge bank account, and we can't make a huge difference in some ways.
Or burdened by it. Sometimes that can be a burden for some people.
Absolutely. Yeah. But we can all control our mentality. We can all control our outlook and how we respond to outside stimuli. So if somebody is coming at us, you know, just make sure, does their opinion really count in your life? If you don't necessarily respect that person's opinion, then why should it affect you? And we don't get offended unless we let people offend us. So it really is a choice. And I've gotten way, way better about that over the years, just controlling how I respond to people and what I think. I'm not going to let people who haven't walked in my shoes and don't understand me and haven't taken the risks I've taken judge me in a way that is going to penetrate my heart or my soul. I'm just not going to let it happen. So by controlling that and understanding that you do have control over your thoughts and your reactions, that can set you up for a better day as well. You kind of walk through life looking at it differently, and then just greeting every day with that thankfulness of being here. And this is another day for me, another opportunity for me to go out there and make a difference, not only in my life, but in the lives of other people as well.
Just trying not to be offended so much all the time. Yeah, no, that's a great
point. I think that burdens people so much when we walk around and we filter everything through this lens of offense and get so offended at everything everybody says. You know, having a good sense of humor will get you a long way in this life, and I've been blessed with that, so not easily offended. I just want everybody to have a good time, love one another, and be happy. That's it.
All right. Well, we always appreciate you. Becky Hillier, thanks for joining us.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So it was back on February 4th, so over 2 weeks ago now, back on February 4th, we had a couple of guests on the show. We had the principal of the Whitehall School. We also had the school superintendent for the Whitehall Schools join us on the show as well. Basically, there's been a big controversy over a school play. Back on January 15th, the liberal Montana Free Press had this headline, WHS school play, no longer the WHS school play. And then Alex Sackerson wrote this, a heated dispute between a school official and a drama teacher dominated this week's meeting of the Whitehall Public School Board as the teacher denounced recent administrative efforts to distance the district from the high school's latest theater production. So that was an article back on January 15th. And then we had the school superintendent and the principal call into this show at this exact same time back on February 4th. And as I mentioned back then, as they were joining us on the show because they wanted a chance to be heard and respond to what they felt were unfair portrayals of their decision in some of the other media reports that had been published at the time, I said, yeah, join us on the show. And as I mentioned back then, I said, hey, and by the way, if the drama advisor or theater coach wants to join us on the show, hey, as you guys know, this show is open to everybody. This is probably the easiest show to be on because we can schedule you as a guest, or you can even just call in when we have open phones. As many of you know, most days we just have open phone lines and anybody can call in and talk about anything they want to talk about. Well, it's great to have now with us here. She is the theater coach or was the theater coach at Whitehall and is the editor of the Whitehall Ledger, which is the newspaper in Whitehall as well. Elizabeth Pullman now with us here on Montana Talks. Great to have you on the show. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Aaron, for letting me call in today and just, get the other side of the coin out there.
Yeah, well, we appreciate it. Yeah, no, I'm glad we've got you on here. Well, first, I want to give you the chance to just say, hey, what do you want to tell our listeners? I tried to give a quick little breakdown. When I had the school superintendent and the principal on back on February 4th, they basically said, look, we reviewed the scripts for this play. And Principal Slater said, you know, we just saw red flag after red flag. There were themes of sex, suicide, spirituality, different things like that. I read the script myself, and I'm assuming that was the same script that was presented to them. And so I had a chance to review the script myself before they called into the show. But the other claim that I think you wanted to respond to was they had said that one of the things that they were really concerned by is that the students in the play were interviewed by media at a festival in Missoula. And so anyway, where do you want to start? What do you want to tell our listeners?
I don't really know where to start with this whole situation because it's gotten absolutely blown out of proportion. I've definitely been portrayed, and I'm not blaming anything on you, and I'm also not blaming anything on the school board. I don't feel like all of the information has been brought out. I also have excused myself from this in my newspaper. I mean, honestly, I am not a liberal newspaper. I am also not a liberal person. I grew up in a military background, complete military family. I went to journalism school. I am right down the middle, as much as humanly possible. And the only reason why the Montana Free Press was brought in is because of their coverage of social issues and how they do investigative journalism in a way that presents both sides of the coin. And they did do that if you look at the article that they published, I believe, last week, where this was not a slam piece against the school board or against the school or anything. It was literally talking about how these topics are very difficult to talk about in a school setting. They interviewed the state superintendent. They interviewed the state guidance counselors, DPHHS, a bunch of people, and there is a lot of talk about how do we address mental health in our society in a way that can be presented, you know, without triggering anything. And I really feel that when the school administration came on your show, even though it was after the play was done at festival and it was no longer a school program, you know, what they said, once you present at festival, we'll send you to festival. They funded it, which they also said on your show that it was not school approved, but that the parents approved it. That's untrue. They paid for the registration, the Airbnb, all of our food. I used the school van. I used the school credit card. So saying that it wasn't supported by the school, yet I can take it to over 500 students at a festival, present it, we win some of the top awards at that festival, but then we're told that this isn't the school play and we can't perform it to our community. So, I understand the issue with presenting it to the entire student body. That had been pulled before it ever went in front of the school board. I pulled that request, and that was only because the kids hadn't performed in front of anybody yet, and they wanted to be able to perform somewhere.
So big picture. So the play, if let's see, I'm looking back at my coverage from February 5th, 6th time frame. So the play is called I Don't Want to Talk About It. I read the script, and I believe it's the script that was presented to school officials. And what I read, it seemed to back up what Principal Slater said, that, yeah, there's themes of sex and suicide and spirituality and no real mention.
Okay, my question with,
but and so
I think, and
so
and I agree.
Well, but
there
so my question would be is okay, so if the school says, hey, you know, we don't think this is appropriate to be the school play at the Whitehall schools, agree or disagree, you know, that's their decision. But did they offer to say, hey, why not do it at the Star Theater? And the Star Theater is you know it. I mean, I think you were one of the co-founders to get the Star Theater back up and running again. It's got great history there. So were you okay with them saying, hey, we're not going to do it at the school, but hey, let's do it at the Star Theater?
Absolutely. And that is exactly what we did this past weekend, where we were standing room only. Our community supported us. And also, people that had commented on your posts on Facebook or shared your post and then commented on other people's things, you know, I saw these comments and I was like, huh, I wonder if they're going to come to the play. And they did. And I have several letters to the editor this week where people are apologizing that they jumped to conclusions about this play, because this play is not about suicide. I don't know if you caught that. I mean, that's like the last 2 minutes of the play. And it does have features of hope. It's all in how you display it. These are all issues that teenagers go through on a daily basis. There was no LGBTQ. There were no transgender. I don't understand where that's coming from. Questioning God and religion. The person that is going through the most in this, that's kind of the interwoven character throughout all these different monologues the students are giving, goes into a church and says, I didn't know where else to go, and I needed to have the question of what happens when I die answered. Where do my dreams go? Where do my thoughts go?
So if there was no issue with, and I apologize because I know we're relatively short on time here, but even after the next break, if you want to stick around, I'd love to chat more.
I know.
But so even if... So if you were okay with, okay, the school says, hey, we don't believe the play is appropriate for a school play for our students here, but we don't want to stop the students and you from doing the play. You can do it at the Star Theater. That's what you ended up doing. If you didn't have a problem with that, then why did other folks in the media create this as a problem? Why is it a problem? Why did it have to become a big controversy?
It didn't, because if you read the Montana Free Press article, they brought it to a storyline of how do you talk about this topic sensitively. Okay, so in November of last year, Jefferson County Health Department put out their public health survey. And I don't want to quote numbers exactly, but I do know that so Jefferson County is the highest in the state of Montana for suicide ideation between the ages of 15 and 39. That right there told us that we were on the right track, that this is something that needs to be talked about. Also, Montana has a whole state of mind project going on, which our public health coordinator brought to the school, asked me to be a part of it. I asked the school if they wanted to be a part of it. They said, if you want to, that's fine. And then I decided, you know, we're already doing this play, which the school knew about back in October. So bringing it up and saying it's inappropriate in January, 2 weeks before we go to festival, that's a dropped ball.
All right, hold that thought. We got to take a quick break here. I want to give you the same amount of time we gave them, so stand by. We'll come back to Elizabeth Pullman right after this.
You know what's smart? Enjoying a fresh gourmet meal at home that you didn't have to cook. Meat Factor, your loophole in the laws of mealtime. Chef-crafted meals delivered with a top, ready in just 2 minutes. You know what's even smarter? Treating yourself without cheating your goals. Factor is dietitian approved, chef prepared, and you plated. Pretty smart, huh? Refresh your routine and eat smart with Factor. Learn more at factormeals.com.
Fox News commentary.
New York City commuters, President Trump swooped in to save you from that horrible congestion pricing. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
It is time to take the quiz.
5 days a week, it's five questions in less than 5 minutes. We ask people on the streets of New York City to play along. Let's see how you do.
What are the two active volcanoes on mainland Europe called?
Is Vesuvio one of them?
Vesuvius and Etna.
How'd you do exactly? These get tougher, so hang on.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox. Then come back here to see how you did. Thank you for taking the quiz.
New York City commuters may soon get relief from Governor Hochul's crushing congestion tolls thanks to President Trump and Secretary of Transportation Sean Duffy. In a letter to Governor Hochul, Secretary Duffy informed her that her little pilot program was not authorized by law. Duffy also noted the congestion tolls are backwards, unfair, and inescapable for NYC commuters. Though the MTA will not give up their toll program without a fight, many New Yorkers are relieved the Trump administration has stepped in to challenge it. Even Democrat New York City Councilman Bob Holden from Queens had to give Trump credit, saying the president kept his promise to New Yorkers by stopping the unfair congestion pricing scheme, a scam tax that was unjust from the very start. President Trump is proving he is a leader for all Americans, even the ones in blue cities who may not have voted for him, but are no doubt, even if secretly, happy about his moves. I'm Tommy Lahren.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny to partly cloudy skies across the area for today. High temperature readings will stay from the mid to upper 30s. For tonight, we can expect variably cloudy skies, low temperatures of around 20. And then on Saturday, we can expect a mix of clouds and sunshine with a high temperature up near 43. Partly cloudy into Saturday night. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frobley.
Get hurt in the game? We tough it out. Feel exhausted? We push on. Feeling down? We pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. But there are times when bootstraps aren't enough. When stress gets to us and we need to talk to someone about what we're really going through. So we're going to reach out. Because sometimes mental health is not a one-person job. Visit loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org.
No time. That's mypatriotsupply.com. Mypatriotsupply.com.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of my big question here. So if you guys saw my story that I wrote on our Montana Talks website back over 2 weeks ago now, this was after our conversation on February 4th, I wrote this. Whitehall school officials make the right call on woke play. And that was my description based off the script that I had read. And so, but anyway, it's great to hear the other side of this conversation here. Elizabeth Pullman is the editor of the Whitehall Ledger, but also has been the theater coach at the Whitehall schools as well. My big question still is like, okay, if this wasn't an issue for Mrs. Pullman to say, if the school says, well, we don't think this is appropriate to be a school play at the school for the school kids, but hey, keep moving forward, do your production out in the community at the Star Theater. If it's not an issue, then who created this to be such a big issue and made it such a divisive issue at the school board? If everybody seemed to be okay with the decision that was made. But since I know we're short on time here, Mrs. Pullman, a couple of points that I just wanted to clarify. When we had school officials on this program here, they said that they were very concerned that students were interviewed by the media during the Thespian Festival in Missoula, and parents didn't give their permission. You're telling me, I got an email from you about this as well, that yes, the parents did give permission for their kids to be interviewed by the media. The school officials also told me that you had resigned your position as drama advisor, but you're telling us that you never resigned, nor had you been told that you were fired either. So I think that was two points that I wanted to make sure we got in here. It sounds like that you wanted to communicate.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm a member of the press. I know the rules. I absolutely got permission from all of the parents of the children that wanted to speak. There were a couple of kids that did not want to talk to the media just because they're so quiet. Their parents were told the media was going to be there, but also that their kid didn't want to talk. And they said, cool, that's fine. The day after I was told an investigation was being done on me, all of the drama parents received a letter apologizing for my illegal activities in not securing parental permission to have the press speak with their children, and that it was against policy at the festival to allow press to be there. Both of those statements are incorrect. I don't know about you, Aaron, but when I go and cover something, I don't know who's also press in the area. The school administration had asked me if there were other members of the press there. I said, I don't know. I was there as the Whitehall Ledger and the drama coach. I know the Boulder Monitor was there because they were also covering their school's play, and I know Montana Free Press was there. Do I know if there was other press there? No, not off the top of my head. And they took that to mean that there was no other press there and that I had brought them in against policy, which if you talk to the Montana Festival Director, that is untrue. She knows there were other press there.
So since we're short on time, we've only got about a minute to go here. But if we need to cover this in more depth, we can cover it in more depth too. But with about less than a minute to go here, what needs to happen now? Do you feel like there needs to be repercussions for some of this back and forth?
I would just like people to, you know, art is art. It needs to be looked at. Important art is something that makes you feel and makes you connect. I don't feel like this was a controversial play. If I thought it was a controversial play, I would have chosen a different play. I felt like this was something that needed to be discussed. And with the amount of other schools that have reached out to us, including Butte Central, which if this was woke and against religion, I don't think Butte Central would be interested. I would just like people to come at things with a more open mind and know that there is a middle ground to things.
All right. Elizabeth Pullman, thanks so much for calling into the show. Great to hear your perspective on this. And like I say, I know it the time flies by here on the program. So if we need to cover it in more depth, we can certainly do that down the road. Thank you.
No problem.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
People are upset about high rents and home prices, but others are much more quiet about it. Because for every buyer and renter who feels the pain of digging deeper into their wallets to find the money to pay for housing, there's a seller or property owner who experiences joy in exactly the same amount. Not to mention homeowners in fast appreciating areas whose wealth has surged. This underscores the reason why the issue of housing affordability has proven to be so difficult to effectively address, and that is the local opposition to the policies that would make it happen. Even as national politicians begin paying attention and start sounding off on proposals to fix it, the trench battles over every new development in communities everywhere are just as intense as ever. Is it undemocratic to override the wishes of local residents and permit more housing to be built? Perhaps. But those who would benefit from the increases in supply that would help bring down the growth in housing costs don't get a vote because they're priced out of the market. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.